I believe in somebody liking you or loving you, but at the same time not being able to know your worth. But that's a you problem, of the person not wanting to know the worth of the other person, your partner, your friend, your sister, your mother, even anyone around you that you love, but you're like, you don't even know their worth. Because that's just basically you not wanting to know about somebody intensely, or not wanting to know anything about them. Because if you get to know somebody's worth, it's because you bothered enough to want to know about them. You took your time and energy and effort, if for effort, trying to get to know those people. And like, that's why you would be able to know somebody's worth, because you can't know somebody's worth just like that, honestly. So yeah, I think that's why there was the saying of you don't know what you have until you lose it. Imagine that's true. Because if you don't want to bother with me, then when I'm no longer in your life, you end up realizing that I really made a big impact in your life. I was really a huge part of your life, which in real sense, you didn't bother in the first place. I put this in the dynamic of relationships, either platonic, blood, or romantic, because they all apply the same. I think when I'm always talking about relationships, it's general, because I'm not about to start classifying and unless I have to. So this is just going to be me saying it in a general kind of perspective. Because yeah, let's say like you did not want to know the worth of your parent, then shit happens, and now you have to realize the hard way that this person had a very big impact in your life, not only financially but also mentally, physically. They're the same people that provided a home for you, the same people that was the same person that was there for you when your friends didn't have your back, you were maybe single, and the only person who is left there is now your parent. Because I mean, in real sense, your parents are the people that have your back no matter what, are the people that will love you unconditionally, no conditions, no nothing, because they're your parents. These are like the people you can depend on the most and at any time, and they will be okay with it. Somebody told me, I can't remember who, a friend of mine told me, once you're a parent for the rest of your life. There's no stopping because this kid turned 18 and now your roles as a parent has stopped or has reduced, maybe reduced, because now if I'm moving out, I don't really need you to cater for me as much as you used to when I was in school or when I was still living under your roof. But like, you're still a parent. I'll be 50 and I will still turn to you as my mother, as my father, coming to complain to you about maybe like my partner or anything that's going on in life. And I'm like, I want my mom. So yeah, that's really a thing. So just here to remind you, if you're planning to be parents, just know you're going to be parents for the rest of your life, which is not a bad thing, but as long as you're ready. Like, that's the whole point of, if you're going to be a parent, you better be ready, you better know that you have the capacity to be able to have a kid, to be able to sustain them mentally, financially, physically at the same time. Can we just talk about how being a parent is such a huge job that you're not paid for at the same time? Honestly, you're not paid to be a parent. That's maybe whatever you get in return is maybe like a token of appreciation. Because if, as your daughter, you've you've been my parent for my whole life. I've grown up and now I have a stable job. I'm doing well. And I decide my mom has really done a good job. My mom has done the best. Let me do this for her. Let me buy her a house. That's basically like a token of appreciation. It's not that I was like, because you're my mother. Okay, yeah, because you're my mother, you can get this house. But like, not because I need to pay you as a mother. And that's what some African parents forgot. Because back in the day, being an African, having kids, or like a lot of kids, that's why Kitambo, they used to have a lot of kids, is like a sign of wealth. No, if you ask me, the math is not worth it. Because how is it supposed to be a sign of wealth? For starters, you as a parent, if you're having 5 to 8 kids, you're supposed to cater for them. You're supposed to pay their fees. You're supposed to do everything. or at least like 90% of the things they asked you. Because at the same time, as a parent, you can't provide everything. Sometimes just to discipline this kid, or because you can't at the same time. Because sometimes, yeah, if you're having 8 kids, you can't cater everything for every one of the kid. Honestly, it's not easy. So yeah, please try to explain to me why it's a sign of wealth, and yet all your wealth is going out to those kids, to those creatures that watch Cocomelon. I mean, so I don't think it's a sign of wealth. Yeah, they were considering it as a sign of wealth when now they grow up. Then they end up being well off. One gets to be, or a few end up getting married. So you have that dowry. The boy child becomes a highly good person in the society. But like, that's them. As a parent, you should not expect something in return from your kids. That's just my opinion, because I did not even ask you to bring me to this world. There was no consent for me to come to Earth. So why are you expecting something in return? And yet you're the one who decided to bring me to this world, and I did not even ask you. You didn't even want to ask me. I know it's very impossible, but I feel like I wish it was very possible for kids to be asked. Okay, of course they would have said yes, because as kids you can't even make decisions. But like, if it was really possible for consent to be allowed to be there in the first place before you're given birth, maybe, I don't know, if like kids are in heaven before they come to Earth, then that can make sense. At least they're asked, Connie, do you want to go to Earth? Are you ready? And you know, so it would really be a good thing, but some things just sound impossible. I wish it was possible though. Because like, if you're up there in heaven with a big guy, and clearly you're seeing everything that is going on Earth, so you already understand how things work, what's going to happen. Then you're there, you're being asked, do you want to go to Earth? Or are you ready to go to Earth? And now you're, for starters, with who? Where am I going to? Are you taking me to Kenya? Are you taking me to China? You know, so they can at least ask you, and you're there, yeah, I'm okay, but can I choose my parents? Don't get me wrong, I'm definitely fine with my parents, but some people definitely are like, I wish I grew up maybe in a different household, which is very valid if you came from a toxic kind of family, or your parents were toxic, or one of your parents was toxic. It's very valid to feel like you want to come from somewhere else, because why would you have me in the first place, and now you're being toxic with me? You don't want to provide for me, and maybe you're able to provide for me. You know, it's one thing being able or having the capacity to provide for me, and it's another thing not having the capacity to provide for me. So why would you bring me on Earth and you don't want to provide, you don't want to be a good parent? And that's why I'm always emphasizing on, if you're going to have, I don't know how this even switched to being to parenthood and stuff, but well, parenthood 101, here it is. I'm always emphasizing on, if you're going to have kids, you better be ready on a lot of levels, not just because you felt like you have baby fever, now you want kids. Mayam, it doesn't just come like that. Having kids comes with a lot of responsibilities, honestly. So yeah, are you like ready mentally? Have you healed your childhood traumas? Have you sorted your inner child? Because we are trying to get rid of these generational curses. Are you financially okay? Kwanza, with this economy, having kids now is something extra. You better like be able to earn properly if your two partners, both of you, need to have like a sustainable job, or you also need to have like a plan in case I lose my job, or in case the both of us lose our jobs, or something happens like the corona kind of era. Do we have an emergency fund? Have you even thought about that in the first place? Because with kids, I feel like you have to have future plans in the first place, because anything can happen. Sasa, imagine you're there, you already have a kabibi, and you've given birth already, and they're like 8 months in this earth, so they're 8 months, and then boom, maybe you as the shore are not working because of the circumstances, you dig, unless it's working from home or stuff. Then there, your husband or your baby daddy has lost the job, or yeah, has lost the job maybe, and now the job they've gotten is less salary or something. How are you going to sort that out? Did you think about it before you got the kid? Did you think about it before, even when you were starting your own life as two people? So yeah, are you physically okay also as a mother, as a girl? Are you physically okay to say that even if I get a baby right now, I'll be okay with the kind of body that comes after and during at the same time? I'll be okay with going to the gym, or because I'm not a gym rat, never have been, I don't want to go to the gym, so I'm ready for any kind of body that will come after giving birth to this baby. So yeah, it takes a lot. I don't even know how I diverted to this. Where was I? What was I talking about? Okay, it started with talking about knowing your worth and stuff. So yeah, anyway, as I was saying, knowing your worth. Why would you, or like, still as a parent stuff, why would you have me as your baby and now you want to mistreat me? Because... Can somebody tell African parents that having kids does not mean that you're having a free maid in the house? Okay, I cannot relate, but they said from experience, it's either having experience is because of how you... Having experience is through your all the kind of senses. So yes, maybe I didn't experience it, but I heard about it, I saw about it. And yeah, I kind of understand how things go, and please, I understand, but also you... Anyway, I'm not even going to talk more about parenthood, because I might end up being that parent, if at all I'm going to be a parent. So I don't want to be such a parent. I don't know what kind of parent I'm going to be. That now depends with time and in the future. And yes, so... I'm still a believer of, I think, still there just a bit. I think that's why I'm a pro-choice kind of person. Yeah, I am pro-choice. But in the terms of, if from the start you already feel like you cannot have a kid, it's okay to decide to get rid of it. If that's what you feel, if you feel like physically already you're not okay with it, it's fine. Do what you gotta do, baby girl. But at the same time, the pro-choice on, you can have that baby because you do not believe in quotes, killing lives. So you're like, let me have this baby, then take them to the orphanage, or yeah, that's only the only option. Or already look for a couple directly to get the kids, because at the same time, taking that kid to the orphanage is tricky. And if I've seen the kind of children homes that are around Nairobi, Kenya, the ones I've gone to, honestly speaking, they're not the best. They are decent, but at the same time, you could still feel, you know, like the whole point of a children's home is you're not in the streets as a child. You're somewhere that you can call home. And home is just not a building. It's the people around you, is maybe also now the building, everything of it. But I'm not complaining. I'm just like, you as a person there, you as an orphan there, will still feel you're an orphan. Because as a children's home, if I'm there, I'm supposed to feel, okay, at the same time, I haven't been there as a child, so I cannot tell exactly. So I've not worked there internally or been a child there internally, so I can't say 100% if I'm right or wrong. But like what I felt, because I think being in a children's home, you need to feel that you're at home. You're loved. This is where you grew up in. But because this kid, mind you, you've kept them in the children's home, and then you're like, ah, in maybe a year's time, they'll get parents. And this kid has already reached 6 years. No parent has, no person or no couple has come to pick them up. So there's always that struggle. So if you're going to be that kind of pro-choice of, I'm going to have the kid and now adopt them, it's easier to look for the couple directly and try to understand how that couple is. Maybe also during the time you're pregnant. So now when you're having kids, or that kid, it depends, might be twins. If you're having that kid, now you can just give it out properly. And you're like, I already found a home or a parent or parents for this kid. So yeah. I don't know the qualifications in Kenya of being able to adopt a kid, because of course there has to be qualifications, because if it's like how I've seen in the movies, you have to have a partner to co-parent with. For starters, that there is stigmatization. Or you have to have a stable job, which is valid. You have to have a good home, things like that. But the one I'm obviously opposing of is, you have to have a partner to co-parent with. Because if I'm single, I don't even want to get married, but I'm like, I want a company, I want a kid, at least to to be with or to parent, it's fine. Because that means I've sat down and told myself or thought about it and realized I can be a good parent even though I'm alone. I can't. But it actually makes sense. It makes sense and it doesn't make sense, because it doesn't make sense if as an individual I'm single and I don't want to get married, so I don't have a man in my life, but I'm like, I want a kid, somebody I can love. And the fact that I'm single maybe means that I don't have somebody to have a kid with. I haven't found the perfect person to have a kid with. I don't want to get a sperm donor and carry the baby. Maybe I'm just not ready to carry the baby. So I'm just like, the easiest way here is adopting a kid. So instead of having a baby, carrying a baby, which I don't want in the first place, and there's somebody in a children's home who doesn't have a parent, let me go through the process and get me a child. But like, I don't know if I'll do a research and see if that's a thing. Because, but at the same time, as I was saying, it also makes sense, because there's always that void of a kid when you only have one parent, and now maybe you're in school and there's the parent days, there's the visiting days, there's the meetings, and only one of your parent always comes to school. And now you're there asking, and your other friends, your classmates have two parents, so you're there asking yourself, as a kid, mind you, so you can imagine how kinda it's a torture. It is a torture, not even kinda. So you're there asking yourself, where's my dad? where's my dad? Or where's my mom? And now you're kinda also afraid of asking your parent, what's not happening? Why don't I have a dad in the first place? Or why don't I have a mom in the first place? And it's going to pile up in your mind for a while, especially as a kid. It's going to be really hard to ask your parent, maybe later in life. But sister, you see, even if you ask later in life, there's that period you've been asking yourself, it has been filling your mind a lot, you've been overthinking it, maybe at some point, you've even started assuming things. So it's going to like consume your mind, and in a negative way. So I think that's why also, if it really does apply, if you're going to adopt a kid, you have to have a partner, it now does make sense on that. Or unless you're like going to tell the kid in the first place, when they're kids, your dad is not around, or your mom is not around because of this and this and this. But it's also hard, because how am I going to start explaining to a two-year-old kid? Or, okay, you start schooling at around 2 years, 3 years. So yeah, you have to now start explaining to your 2 year old or 3 year old kid why they don't have a dad in the first place, why they don't have a mom in the first place. So it's going to create a whole lot of drama, not like drama, but drama. And now I do get it. Unless now you're going to pretend and fake your things, or fake and be like, this is my partner, so I want a kid. Well, that's illegal, so never mind. Now me thinking of illegal ways. So yeah, anyway, I'm going to end this by saying, yeah, for real, you can love somebody and not know their worth. But it's also unfair to the person you're not bothered knowing their worth, because that means you will not satisfy their needs, maybe as the partner or the friend or the parent. Because if I get to know your worth, that means I started with understanding who you are as a person, how you've reached to be what you are, and things like that. So it's because you are just so unbothered, now you do not have to know. And now they have the absence affects you so much to a point that you had to learn the hard way this person's worth, which it's so wrong, honestly. Why would you wait for me to live or be absent in your life? Because that means also dying or just living. Why would you wait for that? For you to now realize my worth, why wouldn't you do that when I was in your life in the first place? Because like that's the whole point, I was in your life for you to take time to understand me, to get to know me. So it's very unfair and disrespectful for somebody, because I will advocate for, if somebody does not know your worth, just leave. So why would you now wait for me to leave? Then you're like, hi, I'm sorry, it took me time to realize this. It's so unfair and so disrespectful. Kwanza, it's very disrespectful, because clearly you're just telling me that all this time we've spent together as friends, you have not bothered to know my worth. Now I've left. Sometimes it's important, sometimes it's not important, depending on the dynamic of your relationship. Because if it's going to be like a permanent kind of relationship, it's important to be absent in their life for a while for them to realize your worth. Because at the same time, when some people end up realizing your worth, or when that happens, a bit of some distance is a good catalyst for that person to realize what they had. but they did not in the first place. So it is important, if the relationship is going to be permanent, for them to now understand, because things might now change. They're like, I'm not about to lose Koni anymore, you know. But you, as the person who decided to leave, now it depends. Was it permanent for you? Was it temporary for you? Have things changed since you left? Why did you leave in the first place? Because also the intentions of me leaving, maybe I left for them to realize what impact I had in their life. Or maybe I left because I just got tired and was like, you know what? I can't keep up with this anymore. It is draining, and just by enough is enough. Because it's okay to get tired. Why would I be with you for years? You've not known my worth. Now I'm leaving is when you want to take me back. High chances you just want to take me back because I've been benefiting in your life and not because you have realized my worth. There's a lot of dynamics in all of this. Just be you, do your boo, trust your instincts, whatever your instincts tell you to do, follow your instincts. I learned to trust my instincts the hard way. So yeah, I'm actually done. I'm literally recording this and I want to post it ASAP. I was supposed to do it yesterday, but I didn't. I fell asleep. My sleeping pattern has gone back to be pathetic. I don't know how I'm going to work on that. But well, you've reached the end from listening to Koni, your favorite girl. So bye.